Well, you're here with Beck, with Rachel, and with me, Motti, and we are delighted to welcome the General Manager of Inclusion and Social Policy at the AFL, Tanya Hosh. Hi there, Tanya.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. We've been wanting to chat to you for quite some time now, so pleased you could make it. Now, that is a fascinating title, the General Manager of Inclusion and Social Policy. Can you just explain or expand a little bit on what it actually means?
How long do we have? look, it's a really great role, and it is necessarily broad. So the main areas that myself and my team work on, and, you know, with people right across the business, is obviously on issues of inclusion and, you know, dealing with anything from racism and sexism, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander issues, multiculturalism in relation to participation in our game, gender, sexuality, and, you know, transgender, non-binary issues as well, increasingly disability and communities, I guess, who may have found themselves or feel like they're on the fringe of our game. So my job is to really, it's not a football operational role, but it's a role that gives me an opportunity to work with the clubs and the whole industry, including within the AFL, about how we make the game more accessible for people and to make sure that everyone feels welcome when they come to the footy.
Now, Tanya, in 10 words or less, how do you do that? How do you make everyone feel welcome?
In 10 words or less, that's very funny. Well, obviously, it's a pretty complex ecosystem that we operate in. And, you know, it's been around for a long time as well, so it's got certain traditions in place. So things like Pride Game, obviously the Sir Doug Nicholls Round, which has been around for a long time now. There's a whole range of activations and focus points across the fixture, across the year, where we do, I guess, try to connect with particular community groups, make sure that we put a bit of focus and attention on the issues that they want us to understand and try and celebrate their participation in our game. That is obviously the most basic way, but there's a lot of policy work and consultation and conversations happening behind the actual game of football all of the time.
I got dizzy listening to the list of things that are in your broad and far-reaching role. What sector do you find, let's just say, this week, the most challenging?
Most challenging. Gee, it would be hard to say because, you know, everything's sort of complex in its own way. But I guess, you know, when you look at the idea of inclusion and diversity, I mean, certainly it's not really that hard to get a lot of people from different backgrounds to come to the football, but how do we work to ensure that people actually feel included by ensuring that their voices and participation is represented right across the code? And that really requires a lot of cultural change, and that takes time to do it in a way that means it's sustainable and not just, you know, a one-hit wonder comes for a week or a season and then we've moved on to something else. Takes real time. So I guess I would say it doesn't matter which issue you're looking at, how we embed it through our system, how we respond more quickly and consistently to the different issues that come our way in relation to the sort of broadening of inclusion through our game, is in itself really complex, and that is a real challenge, but it's one that I feel really lucky to have.
So inclusion and diversity is, well, I hope, quite important for a number of organisations. How did you come to be at the AFL?
Well, before I was at the AFL, I was the joint campaign director for an organisation called Recognise with Tim Gartrell, and we were running a national campaign to prepare the country for a referendum to recognise First Australians in our constitution and take the racially discriminatory parts out of the constitution. We had a partnership with the AFL, cricket and the NRL, and we're increasing our reach into other sports. That was a really successful partnership, and I got a whole new appreciation for the reach of football and how many people you could talk to about issues that they may not pick up in the rest of their lives. So the AFL became a really compelling vehicle once I saw the power of the game. And it's a game I grew up with, living in South Australia, so I always had loved the game. And I was fortunate to have a conversation with Gillon McLaughlin, who knew we had AFLW coming, and I had some experience working in women's services and women's policy as well in South Australia, and we got talking, and over a period of time, he approached me about a role. So I guess in some ways you could say I was in the right place at the right time, but also, you know, the opportunity to work across issues that I feel really passionate about, women's issues and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues and social justice in general. It was a hard decision to leave the Recognise campaign, but it was the right one for me at the time. And, you know, football is a platform like very few others.
I guess, Tanya, in your job, there's a lot of really hard parts, but there's obviously, I suppose, some really enjoyable parts too. What's been the number one moment for you in your role since you've been at the AFL?
Oh, do I only get to pick one?
No, you can pick as many as you like.
Three.
Okay, three.
In 50 words or less.
Okay, so I guess one of the first ones would be the appointment of Peter Matera, to the AFL Tribunal. He starts this season. He's the first Aboriginal person to ever be appointed to the AFL Tribunal. I see that as a really sensational and important step, you know, to have, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in decision making. I think when I started, of 18 clubs, there was only one Aboriginal person on a club board, and that was Gold Coast Suns, Samantha Riley, so a woman as well, so that was great. There's now five Indigenous people on club boards across the league, and I know that will continue to grow. I think that's really important. Having diversity in decision making is as important as seeing it on the field, and that's when you move from just diversity to actual inclusion, you know, which is why I guess my appointment to the AFL executive was quite a big deal. I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but it was. And probably the final one would be the unveiling of the Nicky Windmuir statue at Optus Oval last year, the first Aboriginal AFL player statue, and the fact that it was more than just an embodiment of Nicky Windmuir, but it stood for this, you know, what he was standing for at the time, which was to say no to racism. So that was incredibly symbolic, and a wonderful celebration. And I don't think I'll ever forget seeing the community come together, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, to celebrate that moment in such a positive way. I don't think we'll ever forget that.
It's hard to believe that it was such a long time ago that Nicky Windmuir did that. And there's until the statue, it sort of had gone away a bit weirdly, you know, him in the folklore. But then the statue's unveiled, as you said, and it's brought it right back to the surface. And I think it's been really celebrated. What he did and applauded all over again, which is great.
It is. And, you know, with every anniversary, we tend to do those things in 5-year blocks, don't we? But, you know, I think we'll remember. And, you know, I've been back to Optus since then, and I've seen people with their families having photos taken and hearing children who don't know who Nicky Windmuir is ask about that moment and, you know, hear people talking about that. And, you know, it's really easy to jump past the importance of and the significance of symbolism, a bit like, you know, the what will always be now an iconic image that Michael Wilson took of Taylor Harris with that with that kick. You know, she's out there doing her job and somehow it becomes an iconic moment because it's a woman. And then she's obviously vilified and, you know, receives all this misogynistic behaviour as a result of her just, you know, showing her excellence and athleticness. And, you know, these things matter because they do represent a time where we started to have a new conversation, and that's always important.
The you mentioned Taylor Harris. The way she's held herself through all these challenges, say, particularly the one you just mentioned, has been extraordinary. For a young woman to be able to, she was on, I think it was SEN today or yesterday, and sat there for half an hour and was eloquent and was patient and was calm and so young. And well, she's a great role model, really, isn't she?
Yeah, look, she is. And I guess I would say that, you know, what's really special about listening to our AFLW players speak about their experience in the game and what's happening in their lives is that they're sort of standing on the shoulders of giants, of all of those women in football that have come before them, who carved out a way and ensured that we're at this moment. What I love is seeing that continuum and that growth. And I just think, you know, young people in society are often considered to be naive or lacking in sophistication and experience. But I think time and time again, we see young people all across the country in sport and outside of it standing up, being very clear about what they think and having the opportunity to consider issues that, you know, perhaps we would have thought isn't their place to consider. So I just think, you know, of course someone like Taylor's going to emerge through something like this as quite the role model, but I always like to bring it back to all of those people whose voices perhaps we didn't hear, you know, many years ago when they were trying to say the same sorts of things. And it's just exciting to me that, you know, someone like Taylor is carrying, I think, the burden of this responsibility by virtue of the attention she's received so strongly and courageously.
Now, Tanya, obviously one of the things that's of great importance to us and our listeners is the inclusion of the LGBTIQ plus community in AFL. Can you talk to us about what the AFL is doing in that space at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Look, we have been, I think, you know, since probably 2009, I'm told, you know, really starting to engage in these issues. So, you know, in 2009, we sort of updated Rule 35, as it's known now, about what was originally a racial and religious vilification rule to pick up all forms of vilification, including in relation to, you know, sexuality and preference and gender identity. So that's a really significant rule, and we're actually reviewing that rule again, largely because of what social media is bringing to the table in that way, to see how we can be more effective around those issues. And we're very fortunate that Roe Allen, the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner of Victoria, is sitting on that review committee with us, and Roe's been a wonderful advisor and provoker of me in terms of making sure we understand those issues well. So I'm really fortunate to have had Rose support in these conversations. We're a member of Pride in Sport now in the last couple of years, which means that, you know, we're being accountable to that network in terms of putting in a submission every year to talk about what we are doing and what we still plan to do. Obviously, the Pride game between St Kilda and Sydney is going from strength to strength, and we're seeing that obviously in the women's game as well, and we know that that's going to continue to grow, and it's a really, really important part of our fixture. And obviously I'm always ready to talk with all of you. And
great.
Yeah, we're going to continue to, you know, do work in terms of all of those things. And as I understand it, in terms of gender diversity, we're the first contact sport in the world to have come up with a policy for the elite level of the game. And very soon we'll be releasing our policy for community football as well.
Well, Tanya Hosh, we better let you go because you've got an awful lot to do. Thank you very much
for
chatting.
Can I say thanks for your support and your leadership in all of this as well. I know that you have to work really hard to, you know, bring light to the work that you're doing and the conversations that you're helping facilitate. So I just really want to, you know, say thank you to you. Happy International Women's Day on Sunday, and look forward to seeing you at the footy.
Great. Thanks very much, Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.